The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you this Friday morning. It is obviously the 4th of December 2020. We are here till 10 o'clock. It's 9:05 and it's good to be with you and good to have you with us. And it is a beautiful, brilliant, sunny, freezing morning in Dublin, Ireland. And I trust it is as gorgeous as this wherever you are on the island. Well, I hope at least. It's brilliant and it's lovely. And this is the time of year that people start thinking about Newgrange. For example, I've never been in the thing on the day in Newgrange, but December 21st, the winter solstice, apparently it's a beautiful experience. And there are plans, according to the OPW this morning, to live stream the winter solstice. It might not be the same thing as being there, but certainly close enough. And they'll have OPW social media channels will be available for all to view the solstice. If it's a day like today, they're going to be in business. And these details will be announced later next week as they're still working on the logistical arrangements. But it means essentially that sun worshippers and archaeology enthusiasts everywhere can enjoy the occasion from Meath to Morocco as long as they have access to social media. And it'll become a beautiful thing, welcome viewing of the inside of Newgrange too, which has been closed to the public since the pandemic began. So that is a good news story this morning, the sun beaming through that wonderful structure and offering a new hope, a new dawn for 2021, with all things being equal. And I mentioned yesterday that the previous presidents of America has said that they'd go on television and receive the vaccine if they felt it was would reassure Americans. But actually, a poll was done and they asked the American people, who would you like to see receive the vaccine live on television before you really decided to go for it yourself? And they came back with a resounding answer, Fauci. They said, we want to see Fauci get the vaccine. So in many ways, we'd have to, our equivalent would be to invite Tony Houlihan on to the Late Late Show and said, you know, you're our Fauci, so we have to believe you. If you believe it, get the vaccine on the show live TV. That's if as taking it as an equal poll, if we were to do such a thing, I'd say it'd be along the same lines. More than 40% of Americans said they'd be more likely to get the vaccine if they saw Dr. Anthony Fauci get inoculated first, preferring him as a guinea pig over any politician, and even Tom Hanks. So that's what they said. Even all the politicians said, yeah, we'll do it. Clinton said it, and Biden said it, and at least Obama. Yeah, and all of them, and George W. Bush. But people said, yeah, that's great. Well done, lads. We'd love you to do it. But Fauci, bring me the head of Fauci. And we'll see. We shall see. The young actress who has wowed us all in The Undoing. Here's her name. Her name is Matilda De Angelis. She's from Italy, Bologna. She's 25 years old, and she has been talking about that role, which involved a brief kiss with Nicole Kidman. I don't think I'm giving too much away by saying that. It's pretty much early on in the season, in the episode. But she said it was, she loved it. Wow. She says, I loved it. I was so proud. I think of it as my first kiss. I've been in love with her basically all my life. And on the day I was supposed to meet her, and when she arrived, she doesn't walk, she floats on the air like an angel. I was struck by how beautiful and charming she was. She's one of those people who does strike you as those things on the screen, but you wonder does that translate off screen? But ethereal people are fascinating. People who feel like and look like they don't belong here. Adam King is one of those. Adam King's the little boy from the toy show last week who talked about space and his dreams to be Capcom, the communications guy, and the Major Tom to ground controller, I should say, to Major Tom. And, you know, everyone all week people have been saying to him, what about that boy? And he's going to be on the Late Late Show tonight with another old friend of ours, Commander Chris Hatfield, the astronaut, who has a lovely story. He's actually a lovely book himself about for kids about space and space travel, but also about dreams and ambition. And the two boys, the boy and the man, Chris Hatfield and Adam King. What a lovely combination! But because Adam has that thing that when he comes on the screen, everyone keeps looking at him. What is it about him? And I was talking to him yesterday. Actually, how was your week? Is it great? do you know who the most famous man in Ireland is? He said, yeah. I said, go on. He said, me. I said, you're right. It is you. And everything. And he was talking to his dad, and he said, his dad said to him, I could hear him in the background saying, are you ready to talk to Ryan? And Adam said, oh, yes, he's my friend. I said, oh, no. He would melt the hardest of hearts. Anyway, he'll be joining us tonight. As will Sharon Shannon and a host of stars, Adam Clayton, Donal Lunny, Mundy, Uachtaráin na hÉireann, Michael D. Higgins will be making an appearance as well. It's going to be quite the hoolie on the Late Late Show tonight, and lovely music and great stories. Sharon's one of those another one of those people you just go, what a lovely smile. She's just passion. She's into what she does, and we talk to her and some of her family tonight, and yeah, it's going to be a very exciting Late Late Show tonight with Gary Barlow bang in the middle of it all. So there's loads to discuss and loads to do. Cadbury Ireland have tweeted to say that we're delighted to support Barnardo's Ireland, and they're saying that by purchasing a gift for good, you will directly benefit a child or family that Barnardo's work with and help enhance Barnardo's essential services provided in communities around Ireland. So barnardo's.ie, good on Cadbury's for getting involved, good on Barnardo's and all their people around the country for the work they do. And, you know, we got involved with them with the Toy Show Fund last week, so they'll be feeling the benefit of that very soon. I also was in receipt of, not wanting to give too much away, but I'm not, don't mind saying it, from Roald Dahl's wife, Lissy. Lissy's somebody who I've admired for a long time now, and a very, very lovely memories of going to see what's called Gypsy Cottage, which is essentially Mecca for Dahl fans, where he lived with her and where his writing hut was out the back. And he brought me out there with my youngest, she was my youngest at the time, she's now my eldest. And we went and we skipped along in a beautiful summer's day to the hut and saw all of Roald Dahl's, his writing chair and his little trinkets and bits in his ashtray with the cigarette butts still in it. I mean, it was like he just stepped out for a cup of coffee. But Lissy was very welcoming that day. And, since then, we were in our house in London with this show when we went to the museum, the Roald Dahl Museum in Great Missenden. Put that on the top of your list if you're Dahl fans at some point. But she had read a piece in The Guardian last week about the toy show and got in touch to say that she was so happy that we were paying tribute to the wonderful Roald Dahl and his works and wishing us well. And then she saw it, and her response was just out of this world, because she's very protective of the Roald Dahl story and how it's treated. But she said it was absolutely brilliant, quote unquote. And I was just, it just made my day when I read that, because it's just a ringing endorsement from, and as close to the man himself as you'll get. So full credit there to just the ambition and the dreams of the people on the Late Late Toy Show for making it look so good, and for getting an endorsement like that from Lissy Dahl was a real win. So gorgeous. And I hope that children around the country will have put their order in for a good Roald Dahl book this Christmas. I'd say sales are pretty rather big this year, given the excitement of it all. Now, is anyone going to the cinema? I mean, the cinemas are open again. I know when they opened the last time, and I unfortunately went to see Tenet, but I wasn't afraid to go to the cinema. It's an experience. I think my local cinema isn't open. I looked it up to see. But they are kind of between streaming movie premieres now, rather than necessarily putting them into the cinemas themselves. Suicide Squad, The Matrix 4, Dune is coming to Space Jam, A New Legacy, and then The Sopranos prequel, that looks good, The Many Saints of Newark, and Lin-Manuel Miranda's In the Heights. They're probably all going to make it to download as much as the cinema. But I would hate to see the cinemas suffer as an experience, because that's what movies were made for cinemas and popcorn and the dark room and just the sheer escapism of it. And we got caught up in our own fantasy this morning, thinking about where would you go when it's over? Where do you want to go? A lot of talk of New York, Boston, Washington, D.C. I was saying you could do all three in 10 days easily. Well, if you're like me, you just go, bah, 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 which would be a great 10-day tour. And there was talks of Paris, and then we got lost in Paris, and we got down the boulevards and the patisserie and the boulangerie and the cafes, and thinking, oh, it's time. It's time to start traveling again. That's all going to happen. But do not go to any of the most dangerous countries in the world. And they're listed in the papers this morning. Afghanistan is off the menu, Yemen, Syria, Libya, Mali, Somalia, North Sudan, Central African Republic, along with Nigeria, Democratic Republic of Congo, Ukraine, Pakistan, Iraq, and Egypt. All, I have no doubt, beautiful countries in their own way and for different reasons. But unfortunately, sometimes a country just gets caught up in a war or pestilence of some sort and you can't go there. And it's a terrible shame because there's so much culture and so many beautiful things that just get lost to that. But hopefully in brighter times. The documentary on One, by the way, there's one called Emerald Elvis. So I'll be listening back to that this weekend. Thank you for that. You mentioned Dolly's visit to Paddy O'Shea's pub in Ventry. I did, near Dingle, where she sang Coat of Many Colours. And her accompanist that night was Steve Cooney. Yeah, well, the great Steve Cooney, who was the recent recipient, indeed, of the Lifetime Achievement Award at this year's RT Radio 1 Folk Awards. And there's so much to say about Dolly Parton, but one of the extraordinary things about her is how she never ran from or hid from the poverty and people she grew up with and around. Never. Instead, says this text, she honoured their lives in all ways. And that made some others of the chatterati uncomfortable, but never Dolly. Good on her. Another says, I'm dancing around the kitchen, arms outstretched, thinking of the people I've loved. That was beautiful. That's on our lovely Elvis, Mark Lean's take on the I Will Always Love You. Let me say good morning to Jane, who joins us now, I think, or well, she will in a second. We'll go back to her in a sec. Going to the Stella Rathmines on the 14th of December to see It's a Wonderful Life. Cannot wait, says Gillian in Foxrock. The 14th of December, you say? It's a Wonderful Life in the cinema. It's the only place to see it. Well, actually, with a good fire and a couch and the right thing going on, you could enjoy that. But either way, have fun. Love Roald Dahl, says Jay in Cork, and loved the museum in Great Missenden. And luckily, so did my boys. I've promoted it since our visit in 2019. What I would love now is a reboot of Tales of the Unexpected. That would be wonderful and very welcome. Very good point. They've rebooted the Twilight Zone and it's desperate. Not just awful. Acting is terrible and the whole thing is just rubbish. Sadly. And the Tales of the Unexpected has aged really badly. The books haven't. The stories are readable. But the TV show is just, I'm sorry, just belongs where it came out. And we used to love them, but it just hasn't travelled. But a reboot is a wonderful idea. Why am I crying, Lisa asks. Spectacular. Because you listen to our Elvis version of, Mark Lean's version of I Will Always Love You. Spectacular. What a job in such a short space of time. Indeed, that's made my Friday. I wish I'd recorded it to listen back to. Well, you've got podcasts. You can listen back to it all day if you like. Once we hit a certain time of the day. And lots of texts in. I'll be heading to Norway after all of this. A tour of Oslo, then a train too, and a boat ride through the fjords, says, like in Bergen, says another. That's a beautiful plan for a trip. You played I Will Always Love You during the week, and Dolly's version doesn't have the vocal embellishments that Whitney's has, but it's truly a thing of beauty. And the embellishments that many vocalists seem to favour nowadays takes away from the true emotional content of the song. Very well said. Lou was on. I'm adopted. Simply put, it's just another way of coming into a family. Well said, Lou. You're quite right. Lovely interview. Important to remember that, adopted or not, if we are fortunate enough to have loving parents and to be well provided for, then we're lucky. We didn't do anything to achieve this fate, just like those less fortunate did nothing to deserve poverty or neglect or misfortune. Important to remember and support in whatever way we can. Those who did not have our luck with parents and families and so on, says Connor in Dublin. Well said. It's an interesting thing. You often see people and they might be on the side of the street or they're just having a horror of a day. And you just think, the lotto numbers, Jane was right. Some people just didn't get the numbers and it must be just, it's cruel and there's no fairness to it. And they must think themselves, why didn't I? And when you do get them and you know it, that's a joyful thing. Like Jane says, she gets it and she appreciates it all the time. It's a nice thing to be able to go through life with that sense of positivity. It's 30 minutes to 10.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yes, Gas. Last Friday, my husband and myself, we sat down to watch the Late Late Toy Show, which we enjoyed and moved by. And there were other things moving for me and in me as I was due my little baby that day. Amazingly, the baby waited until the end of the show. And then my waters broke later that night. And the next day, baby Arthur was delivered by the exceptional, wonderful staff in the rotunda. So the toy show night will always be special for us now. Says Cora, congratulations. Arthur, Christmas. Like, it's you get the jokes right themselves. More love for Elvis. He died 1 month after my dad, says Colette, who was only 49 and I was 17 at the time and it felt like a double whammy. And Carmel was saying, I can imagine Elvis in that white suit, looking incredible. The giant neon Elvis sign in the background. I love it. Mark did a brilliant job with the song. And it's getting a lot of love tonight. Maury is in Donegal, says, listening to the Elvis doing Dolly's song has ruined my eye makeup for the day. It sounds so like him, doesn't it, though? It's just so gorgeous. And Mary says, I had to go into work this morning for the COVID swab. Driving home, I had to pull over to properly listen to the Emerald Elvis singing I Will Always Love You as I was crying. I remember mum sobbing when news broke about Elvis's death. I grew up listening to The Great Man. Yeah, it's quite something. And that documentary one is called From a Jack to a King, if you want to like the song, got to listen to that. If you haven't seen the film Elf, by the way, with Will Ferrell, you're welcome. I mean, just sort yourself. I think it's less than an hour and a half. It is. I would channel a lot of Buddy the Elf now in a toy show in terms of the wide-eyed wonder of childhood. And you need to watch it. And then you need to text me on Monday and say, we sat around at the weekend and watched that because you told us to. And thanks, because you've got now an annual treat because it's special. And it features this. Oh, yes, that is a good way to start your day from Louis Prima. Pennies from Heaven. Love that so much. Can you name the movie? Of course. It's called Elf. E-L-F. It's that simple and you won't go wrong. Joanne was on to say, wonder, do you have a Can't Get Out of the Car song? Of course. Loads of people. Mine is The Power of Love by Frankie Ghost. I'll play that for you next week, Joanne. I sure will. I sit in my car, she says. I turn the volume up and sing at the top of my head. Sing at the top of my very bad voice. Oh, right, you and me both. And generally entertains everyone passing by. It was my late husband's favourite too. It's now my son Daniel's. So we're sending you all our best for a wonderful Christmas. Thanks so much for last Friday. And the rest, laughed, cried, I was proud to be Irish. That's my perfect combination of a result for people watching a show like that. Joanne, happy Christmas to you and to Daniel. And I'm going to play that for you guys next week, I promise. Ryan, speaking of Paris, so somebody asks, why hasn't anyone opened a French cafe in Dublin called Sean's Elysees? Champs-Élysées. I like that. That's clever. Thanks to Dolly's charity book service all around the world, says the text, my children have benefited from a book from her a month for 5 years. She is amazing. Didn't she donate €1 million, or dollars rather, to the research for a vaccine as well? So she's quite something. I saw the Dolly film, Christmas on the Square. It's cheesy, it's daft, but it's fun. And Christine Baranski is terrific in it. Bit of harmless, festive fun, and we all need that this year. Okay, you're setting it well. Went to the cinema yesterday, says Margaret in Swords, to see, Alistair Sims as Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. That's a cracker, and we were the only ones there. Even better. What a beautiful thing. I love that song, says Elaine in Roundwood. Good woman, Elaine. Reminds me of happy times with my wonderful, funny partner, dancing and laughing together. I think it may have rained for us this morning. Good. Loads of pennies, I hope. So you know what you do. You turn the umbrella upside down, gather them all and dance into the future. Watched Elf. It's on all year round in our house. Our 12-year-old son, who has Down syndrome, loves Christmas. So Christmas movies are on all year. And this is one of them. Susan, on the way back from a cold walk down the beach. Yeah, but you feel good, don't you? And then you've earned your tea. Your cup of tea. So it's great. There's a woman on Home Rescue, one of my favourite programmes in RT. It's Roisin and Peter and the gang as they go around and declutter houses. It's a lovely program, quite kind-hearted program, well made, well presented. And there was a woman last night, the episode I watched, I'm a week behind, and she had just way too many Christmas decorations. I mean, you might have seen her. She had about 80 Santas, and her granddaughter was helping her, and they were lovely people. But they did a beautiful job in her house. Gosh, it's just like, at last, I can see. They could see. I think there were 5 layers of wallpaper on the wall when they scratched. But the house is magnificent now. They deserved all the happiness. I've never watched Elf and Louis singing. Louis was my late brother John's favourite singer, says Lisa. And it's his heavenly birthday today. Can you believe that? I can't believe I haven't watched Elf, given that. So get busy. Elf is a great Christmas watch, says Claire and Offaly. Great recommendation. Just want to say it's showing in the Odeon cinemas now for any of your listeners who might want to see it on the big screen. Well, Claire, I know an Odeon not too far from here that may well be receiving a visit from me to watch Elf. I didn't know that. Thanks. I'm going to make my 84-year-old mother watch Elf today, says Dee. She always dismisses it as ridiculous. A grown man thinking he's an elf, but... Yeah, welcome to my world. But but I am determined to change her mind. You do that and report back to you. I'll be waiting for you. to hear what your how your mother got on with it. I demand to know. I only, said Siobhan, I only have to look at Sharon Shannon and my heart lifts. You should try and find a recording that was played on RT where she talks about, to her aunt, I think, about growing up. She's so natural. She sure is. And she's she'll be featuring as our special tribute, part of our show at least tonight, to the wonderful Sharon Shannon. One of life's good eggs, that's for sure. Good man, Louis, a trooper, a family of troopers. Just a suggestion, could you ask people who are sending Christmas cards in the post to leave the envelopes open? Don't lick them. Yeah, yeah, good point. I'm sure no one minds too much, nothing too private in a Christmas card, I would have thought. I was in Doyle's restaurant in Dingle in 1990 and Dolly Parton walked in with Paddy O'Shea. Beginning of a joke. And my husband, Annie, or Arnie rather, had his back to the door so he didn't see her and I thought I was mad. Next morning, there was a great photo of Dolly and Paddy in the Examiner. I didn't get to meet her or shake her hand, but was happy that I was close to her, says Marianne from Cork, living in Dublin. Now, in the podcast, by the way, if you listen to it, if you missed the show during the week, you can just tune in and you can hear the chat that we had with David Brophy about the beautiful RT Concert Orchestra winter sessions, but also his own backstory, which is fascinating. Dawn French was lovely. Really lovely chats about Beatrix Potter and the Vicar of Dibley and her new book, Because of You. And then we spoke to Arthur and Deborah Carr about Clada Watch down in Galway. And there's lots to listen into, so do join us on that if you can. See you later on The Late Late Show, okay? Stay tuned for Claire Byrne. Thanks, team, for keeping me afloat this week. You were brilliant. No, honestly. And I appreciate it. And we'll see you all on Monday here between 9 and 10, so keep the kettle going. Looking forward to seeing you then.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.